come around the box. not too much space to walk. God bless you, man. Thank you for coming to the channel. Thank you for clicking on that thumbnail. Thank you for being a part of our YouTube channel here. Thank you for joining it. There's a join button there, 99 cents a month. You can be a friend of the ministry. I think that's pretty cool. That 99 cents will prompt you to pray, and it won't make you go broke, but it's a seed, a little tiny seed, 99 cents. That's the lowest I can put the offering. I would have made it one penny. But I just want one more way of committing, showing commitment or demonstrating your faith to the Lord by being a part of our ministry. God is doing a great work here in this ministry. Okay? And so you can do that. You can click that join button, J-O-I-N, join button, right there below the video. And if you haven't subscribed, you can also subscribe. And let's see if we can get this to 1,000 subscribers. So we're about 770, something like that, 775. We bounce around between 770 and 775. And been there for a couple weeks now. But maybe in the next few months, we can get that up to 1,000. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? 1,000? I don't know why, but why not, you know? Why not? I mean, it's available. I mean, I could have 1,000,000, I guess. I don't know. I doubt that'll ever happen, but never can tell. And as long as the YouTube channel is alive, and I know there's a lot of problems going on, but, you know, I don't work for Google. I don't work for YouTube. I work for God. So God's provided this medium, and I'm also on other video channels, but they don't really get any traction. There doesn't seem to be any views. I can't seem to get anybody to go there, but everyone comes to YouTube because it's the most popular in the world. So and if you watch our videos, I don't know why this is, I never know what I'm going to say when I turn that camera on, but anyways, this is what I'm saying, and that is, if you find the channel interesting or thought-provoking or a good example of a street minister or a preacher or somebody's been around a long time, I want you to share it. Maybe put it on Facebook or Twitter, it's called X now, maybe on Instagram, or maybe email it out to your email list and things like that. You know, I mean, why not? Why not share what you're partaking of? You know, give back what you're receiving. Kind of give back a portion. Give a tenth back. If you watch an hour, give, you know, tenth of 60 minutes to 6 minutes. You know, take 6 minutes to join, to subscribe, and ready to comment, to like the video. Interaction with the video tells a lot to the company YouTube and the way they have everything programmed. That computer, that robotic computer, that algorithm they call it. And it looks at, see if people are really interested in the video. It doesn't matter how good I am, that doesn't matter to YouTube. What matters is they want to serve their customers, and the customers are the viewers. The customers really aren't the creators. They're sort of are, but really it's not the creator. Maybe it's partial creator and partial viewer. So if the viewer doesn't watch the video, that checks a box in YouTube that says, well, I'm not going to show that video to that person because they don't like that video because they didn't watch it. They clicked on it, watched it for 20 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes, and it's a 40-minute video, and they only watched, you know, 0.000% of it, and they're not going to share it anymore. And so interaction with the video helps the ministry. Subscribing helps the ministry. Commenting on the videos helps the ministry. A like button helps the ministry. Sharing the videos helps the ministry. Joining to be a friend of the ministry for 99 cents a month, that helps the ministry. And then watching it all the way through from beginning to end helps a lot too. But actually, that's the number one view. That's the number one metric that YouTube looks at nowadays, because that tells them everything, that the person is interested in what's being delivered to them. So they bring more of my channel to people like that. It's really interesting. And a lot of this information is in our back office as a creator. I got all kinds of statistics. I got pages and pages and pages of all kinds of stats. I can tell you if you're watching on television or if you're watching it on an iPhone, I can tell you how you watch the video. God bless you, sir. And or what country you're in, what city you're in. They don't tell you the name or the IP address. They don't tell you any personal information. They just show that of you or someplace in the world, and they give you where that place is, but not the address. None of that personal stuff is shown. So don't be concerned that you're being tracked. You're being tracked from the day you were born. So forget that. You're no such thing as a human being hiding in the planet. That ended a long, long, long time ago. And that's part of the Bible. The Bible said that's going to happen. So if you're trying to hide from what's happening, you're really hiding from the Bible. Because the Bible says it's going to happen, you know. And one guy walks by, says, God bless you, man. Another guy walks by, curses me out. One taken, one left. That's just the way it is in life, man. You just can't win everybody to the Lord. Ain't no way that's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of people going to hell. A lot of people. I'm going to say at least 50% of the people are going to go to hell. How about that? 50%. I know it's a lot higher than that, but that's what I see on the street. About 50% of the people hate on me, and 50% of the people love on me. I don't know what that is. People make decisions. It's like the guy walked by, another guy walked by. One guy says, God bless you, man. Gave me a peace sign. Another guy walks by and mocks me, cusses me out. Isn't that crazy? All right, so we're at Folsom and Arapahoe today, and I got to pray. I forgot to pray. I'm sorry I started talking. Been an exciting morning so far. So, Lord, I thank you that we can come out to Folsom and Arapahoe. We can lift a banner in just a moment. We can do a street sermon. We can do a scripture short for the YouTube channel. We can just do what you want us to do and stand where you want us to stand. I was willing to do anything, Lord. I knew I'm scheduled for here. Holy Ghost, you built my preaching calendar, and this is the day you scheduled me to be at Arapahoe and Folsom. And here I am, right on time, a couple of minutes late, but you said that's all right because of the weather and what you're going through. So God's grace is around me, and I thank you, Lord, that the grace is around the people who are watching and listening right now. We give you all the glory, Father, in your holy name, Jesus. Amen and amen. All right? So praise God. Praise God. If you don't know Jesus, this is the time to receive Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just say a simple prayer. Don't get all elaborate. Don't get all carried away. Because if you do that, you're probably operating out of your brain. You can say anything you want. You could be really eloquent with the Lord, and he won't hear a word you're saying because he's looking at your heart. Your heart. And we're going to talk about the tongue. And that tongue is connected to your heart. What comes out of the heart comes out of the mouth. And it's either good or bad. And that tongue is also connected to our brain. In a roundabout way. Not exactly, but... If your brain is full of evil, your brain is full of nastiness, your brain is full of trash and garbage and all kinds of evil, that's going to come out of your mouth, and it's going to set things on fire. But if you talk out of your heart, and you put good things in your heart, and you watch over your heart, you can say a lot of good things to people. Good things to people. Just like I talked about in class, you can say, God bless you, man, God loves you, to somebody. And that could set him free. Just something simple like that out of your mouth can set that person free. So are you talking to people, or are you all closed mouth, all hidden when you go to the grocery store and the McGuckins? I tell everybody, I talk to every single person I can meet, and I walk around this way advertising for Jesus. I was in the hardware store getting a couple tools for the ministry. I was in the post office getting a couple things for the ministry. I was walking down the street praising the Lord. And people were reading my shirt, my hat. And I was smiling, walking down the street to my corner. So I was being a witness. So be a witness wherever you go. Always be a witness. Don't hide. Every time you're outside, that's an opportunity for you to sow the word of God. You want to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives you. He could have got you sick and kept you in bed. And there was no opportunity there. Maybe you would have provided some other way. But he brought you out of the house. He brought me out of the house. I was very pleased and happy with the Lord, that the Lord saw fit that he can bring me out. I don't come out on my own. I don't do anything on my own. It's not my will that's going to be done. It's God's will. And if I need to rest because of this, what I'm going through, this long-term fasting, I rest. Yesterday I had to rest because Sunday was really hard on me, very long, and it was very rough on me. I went to bed very early. I went to bed at 3:30 or 3:45 when I got home on Sunday. I was exhausted. And so I had to stay home Monday just to rest. But I feel good today. Today's Tuesday. And I'm going to work. I've been going since 5 this morning, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord since 5 o'clock. I'm 70 years old. This would be I'm 71 this year. Later on this year, I'll be turned 71. And in May, I begin my 6th decade with the Lord. 6th decade begins in May 2024. How about that? That's also preaching, because I started preaching 2 weeks after I got saved. How long have you been preaching? How long have you been saved? Have you been preaching since you got saved? Yeah. Everybody's supposed to be preaching. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He told every one of us. How many obey that calling? Many are called, but few are chosen. I chose to serve that call. When God called me, I chose to follow that calling. I'm still here. After 50 years, I'm still preaching the gospel. How many people are in heaven because I live? My dream, my vision, my objective, what I saw in the Spirit, is 1 million people are in heaven because John Shuck lived on earth. 1 million people, 1 million souls. I don't know how many's there. Am I going to hit that goal? I don't know that. But that's what the Lord showed me. That's what He's spoken in my heart. So I'm going to have to trust in Him. And I'm giving my whole life to the Lord, but I'm really stepped it up since I retired. I retired at 63 and a half, and I dedicated the rest of my life hoping I'd reach 93 and a half. That's 30 years of nonstop serving the Lord, 7 days a week for the next 30 years, if the Lord tarry and I am physically able with strength. So that's what I've been doing. That's why I've touched millions of people already. Oh, not a million. Yeah. What have we touched so far? 3.4 million people. 3.5 million people we've touched since I retired. If you're retired and you're watching, how many people you've touched for heaven? Have you hit the 3.5 million mark? I have. I've already passed it. I'm headed for 10 million people to go buy my banner. A lot of people don't track numbers, so they don't know where they are. God tracks the numbers. God knows exactly how many numbers are doing, how they found, how, what's going on. He knows how much you give, how much you serve, how many hours you pray. He knows it all. It's all being recorded. He even knows the thoughts that are being recorded. Everything's being recorded, man. I hope this is recording. Hang on a second. Thought just came to me to check to make sure it's recording. So that's a tool. Let me teach on that. That's a tool the Holy Ghost gave me way back when I was in ministry training. He said, in the phrase He gave me personally is, when you think of it, you do it. So when the thought comes to me, now remember, my thoughts are from the Lord. My thoughts aren't from my flesh. I'm talking about thoughts that I know are from the Lord, okay? When I think of it, I do it. That's that willingness and that obedience. Action. And I put that two together as a witness. I'm willing and obedient, but then when I think about it, that connects together, that thought. When I think of it, I do it. So that thought came to me to go around the backside of the camera to make sure it's recording, because there's no blue light on this side or red light, whatever they have. You know, God bless you, brother. Go Jesus. I see, there's another guy saying, go Jesus. That's really cool. God bless you, man. All right. So we're in the Sunday prayer letter now, and that goes out every Sunday morning. And I ask you to subscribe to that letter. I've only got 30 people on the letter. 30 people. I've been asking for 6 years. 30 people have elected to say, I'll sign up for that Sunday prayer letter. But they don't do it. I think you can go to John Shuck, C-H-O-Q-U-E. You see my name right there on the YouTube channel, johnshuck.com. And I think it takes you over there. I have to check that to make sure it still goes there. But yeah, as a little story about who I am, you can put your first name and your email address in there, and you get for two letters, a welcome letter and a hello letter of some sort. And the third letter is the Sunday prayer letter. It goes out every Saturday night, Sunday morning. I've been sending it out Saturday night. And that letter mainly is for us to stay connected. There's no asking for money in there. There's no asking for donations. I don't do any of that stuff. I just give you the Word of God. I let you know where we are, what schedule we're on. If you look at today, if you look at the Sunday prayer letter, you'll say on Tuesday, oh yeah, John's at Folsom Minneapolis, right there in your letter. So now you should be praying for Folsom and Arapaho. Are you? I don't know. Between you and God. Or you just forget it. I don't know that either. I tell you, when you've got a handful of faithful, committed prayer warriors standing beside you, it really helps the ministry a lot, a lot, a lot. Prayer is a very strong moving force. We're changing the state of Colorado and the cities that we're in. We're in 16 cities, soon to be in 17 here pretty soon. And we're changing those cities, and we're changing them by prayer. Prayer is changing those cities. But people stop praying because they can't see the action. They can't see the result of their talking. Does that bother me? Not in the least. Because I know my prayer is not physical, it's spiritual. And I'm doing spiritual warfare in high places. Let me tell you, Boulder and the Front Range and the cities that we're in are full of spiritual wickedness in high places. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. All right? So here's that diagram again. I've shown it a few times. Here's the diagram right here. This is how we're structuring all the scriptures on fire. All right? And I'm not going to explain that. You should have watched it on my Sunday sermon. If you don't know what this is, go to the Sunday sermon. I'm going to jump in the verses now for this. It's Tuesday, part three on Tuesday. We're doing the ends of the cross come in towards the soldier of Christ, the fire coming in towards that soldier. All right? So we're doing Leviticus 2:16 and James 3:5, right? And we combine those two scriptures because they're on opposite ends of the Bible. And we're coming in. We started at the ends of the Bible, and we're coming in towards the middle, wherever the middle is. All right, Leviticus 2:16. Hallelujah. Leviticus 2:16. It's here somewhere. Getting close. I'm in the right book. I got gloves on. That's why it's kind of hard to turn the pages here. Leviticus 2:16. Hang on. Almost there. There it is. I got it. And it's cold. Wasn't supposed to snow today. But who cares, right? It's going to snow anyway. Once it snow, it's going to snow. And it's pretty cold, too. Pretty cold. All right. Leviticus 2:16. These are prescription glasses. That's why I have to turn them down so I can see. All right. Leviticus 2:16. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord, an offering made by fire. So when you look at that verse, you say, well, that's in the law, John. I'm not talking about the law, all right? I'm not talking about the law. What I am talking about is the word fire. And fire is right there in that verse right there in Leviticus 2:15. All right? Fire is in there. And you can... those guys are walking by with pizza. And I'm fasting. That's one of the first things I want to go do on April 12th on Friday. I'm going to go get a slice of pizza. Celebrate. 75 days, I tell you. All right, so if you look in that verse real slowly and deliberately and sort of judging me and judging the verse and say, what God, because you look at the character of God, God's a very precise God. He has ways of doing things, and you must do it the way God wants you to do it. If you don't do it the way God wants you to do it, then you've disobeyed. You're disobedient. Yeah, that's sin. And priests that are full of sin aren't going to be preaching very long. Right? In the Old Testament, if a priest had sin and he went into the Holy of Holies, he died instantly. They had to pull him out by the rope that's chained to his ankle there. They pull him out. He's dead. Here's another one. He must have had sin. He's dead now. But we're in grace now, and pastors and preachers that still have sin, but we don't die. We don't die. Because we're in grace. And the problem with grace is people have a tendency to keep on sinning. Because nobody dies when they sin. That comes later. Comes later. I tell you, it's so funny. People drive by and they just stare. They don't know what you're doing. They see I've got two orange safety cones. I got this big banner right there. and I got this tripod and everything here, and it's really interesting to see how people react to this. They just stare at you, kind of trying to figure out what that is. When they're staring and trying to figure out what's going on there, because some people thought I'm surveying. This kind of looks like a survey setup here. But then they see the Jesus, they see the Bible, and they go, I don't want that. And they turn away real quick, or they flip you off, or they curl their lips, or they snarl at you. They do all kinds of odd and funny things. But that's their way of letting you know their decision. Yeah, that's their choice. They choose not to serve God, but to serve the God of this world, because they think the God of this world is better. Is he? Is the God of this world better than the God who made the world and the God who made the God of this world? So when you look at Leviticus 2:15 or 16, is it 16? Yeah, 16. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Right? An offering made by fire. Yeah. I got my gloves on because it's so cold. Offering made by fire unto the Lord. That fire purifies that offering so God can receive it. If the fire wasn't there, then the offering would not be purified and he wouldn't receive it. Wouldn't receive it. And so that's why everyone will be salted with fire. Fire purifies us. Doesn't destroy us. A lot of people don't understand fire. That's why we're talking on fire all year long. That's why my banner has a lot about fire. It's got three different areas that has fire on the banner. Three areas. Because out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. That's why on my banner, there are three words of fire. That's how the Holy Ghost wanted it. Holy Ghost gave me this banner and put the message on it. That was not the message I was really going to have. They changed it and made me lift this banner. It was hard. That's the hardest message I've had to lift, because I get so much flack from believers. They don't like it. All right? So the other thing about this verse 16 in Leviticus chapter 2 is it tells you more of who God is. You want to know more of who God is? Read Leviticus. You'll see the preciseness and the exactness in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And you'll see that God demands us to be precise, demands us to be exact. That's why he calls us holy, because you cannot be precise and exact and righteous with God when you're living in the world. But to be holy is to come out of the world, to separate yourself from the world. Don't look like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't talk like the world. Be holy, be righteous as God is. So what's the matter with the church today? So much of the modern church today, they look just like the world. They talk just like the world. They tattoo their bodies up just like the world. They cut their hair in ungodly fashions just like the world. And they dress just like the world. So what's the old phrase saying? If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, waddles like a duck, it must be a duck. You know? When you counsel with people and you're looking at everything and they quack like a duck, they sound like a duck, they flap their wings like a duck, it must be a duck. Then you tell them you're a duck. And then they get mad at you. I'm just looking at what I see and what I hear coming out of your mouth. This is who you are. Oh, no, that's not. Well, people are deceived. They think they're more than they are. They've got pride. And that pride keeps them from hearing the pure word of God. That pride keeps them attached to the word of to the world. That pride. That's why God says to humble yourself. Humble yourself. Don't let God humble you, man. If you let God humble you, and when God humbles you is this. We're in grace. And God gives us a lot of grace. It's different for every person. But there is a season that we're living. Grace is going to end one day. And there's going to be no more grace. That's when the judgment's going to come, all kinds. I don't know exactly when grace is going to end, but it will end one day. All right? So you're living in grace, and you're in sin, and all kinds of problems, and you're living in pride. And if you don't humble yourself, you humble you. If you don't do that during that grace period, you keep nudging in your heart. I need to stop that. You feel it. You feel the nudging and the love of God stirring in your heart. and you don't do it, that grace comes to a halt for that thing that God's given you grace for. When that grace halts, then God comes in and he's going to humble you. We already talked about that a little bit. When he was out in the wilderness, he humbled them. God humbled the people because they refused to be humble. That's why they didn't cross over the Jordan River. They were so stiff-necked, so hard-hearted. God sent them in the wilderness to humble them. And they all died in the wilderness. They never came out of the wilderness, but they were humbled. So you don't want to let God come in your life and humble you. I've heard a lot of preachers talk about how God humbled them. And I'd always told myself, man, Lord, keep me without pride, prideless, meek. Let's Brent say it, and we praise over our church. Meek, prideless, humble, meek, prideless. I think that's what he says. A humble, meek, prideless church. That's Gospel Evangelist Church. A humble, meek, prideless church. That comes from our pastor. I'm calling him my pastor now. Pastor Brent. I need a pastor, so he's my pastor now. Anyways, all right, so watch that, okay? So let's go now over to the next verse on the other end of the scale, of the end of the arm, and that's chapter 3, verse 5. James chapter 3, verse 5. Let me fold this tape. Well, that's all right. James chapter 3, verse 5, these kind of go together a little bit. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So that is a really interesting verse there. I did the scripture short on this one here. And when you look at that in light of Leviticus 2:16, and you think, how do we put those two together? Well, if you mix and change and alter the offering that God told you how to do, then that's what you're doing. You're kindling that with a fire that God will not receive, because that comes out of your mouth. It comes out of your brain that you're going to change the offering, and you speak it to yourself and you change the offering. What's the most famous verse that validates that? I hope you're known in your city. I've already had a dozen, I think, that all even the cashier at McGuckin recognized me. And she was all tattooed up and everything all pierced up, and she even knew who I was. And she respected me. I said, I respect you for what you're doing. Oh, man, God bless you, ma'am. Thank you very much. I said, I told her Merry Christmas. That's what I told her. It brightened her day up. I says, I feel like I need to say Merry Christmas to you. You know? And so I said, Merry Christmas. And she got excited, you know? How about that? You got to say what the Lord puts on your heart. That just popped out of me. Merry Christmas. That was a lady that checked me out at McGuckin's hardware store here in Boulder. That was great. We had a good time talking. We talked for probably 2 or 3 minutes. There's nobody behind me. It's just her and I. And being a witness for Christ there in the hardware store. I had the other cashier reading my back. It says, where will you spend eternity? I had another guy reading my banner. I tell you, I was a witness in the hardware store, all right? And so what came out of my mouth was edification, exhortation, and comfort. And I kindled a fire that was good and it purified the area that we're in. And I was able to deliver a good word to that cashier, the lady, I didn't get her name, that cashier that at McGuckin's Hardware. How about that? And the fact that I was gonna go out the other door, I said, no, don't go out that door, go out the other door. Oh, I turned my car, I had to turn around and go out the other door. Not the door I came in, I had to go out the other door. I thought, all right. I said, what's God gonna do, man? God said, not that door, the other door. I said, okay, man, we're gonna do something for God. I'm willing and I'm obedient. When I think of it, I do it. I turn around, and there I met that lady. Touched her life. That's amazing, right? So look at this one more time. James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member. That tongue's a little, tiny. Don't despise great big things, because sometimes they come out of little things. Little things. Back over here down Highway 93, there was a little tiny fire by an outbuilding. And the guy who saw that fire thought it was unimportant. Said, oh, it'll just burn itself out. It's just a little, he said it was just an itty bitty little thing. It wasn't 6 inches tall by a couple inches, it was just a little spark, a little fire, and they would normally burn out, right? And he didn't do anything about it. He just went on by, just said, he looked at it, going, oh, that's interesting. And he just thought it was gonna burn out. That little tiny fire caught the wind, caught that little fire and burned 750 homes and made the hospital over there in Superior evacuate all the patients, shut down all the malls, and it lit everything on fire, and all the houses burned right to the foundation, and people couldn't get out of there fast enough. Thank God nobody died, nobody got hurt. But it all came from a little tiny fire, itty bitty little fire, like the tongue. Millions and millions and millions of dollars burned up. The fire was going at 100 miles an hour because the wind picked up right after that fire. All of a sudden the wind came up and we had 100 mile an hour winds. It was like a firestorm. It swept across that plains and burned all the hill and dropped down in Superior and just lit everything on fire. 100 mile an hour wind. It was just... But the guy could have walked, jumped over. In fact, there was no fence. He could have just walked over the ditch and just put it out with his foot. Could have put it out with his foot. But he didn't, because he saw a little fire means nothing. So when that fire comes out of your mouth, you think, oh, it doesn't mean it. Little white lie. That's what they say. Oh, it's just a little white lie. It's a little mistruth. No big deal. You don't know what that little fire can kindle into. It could destroy the lives of 750 people. It could evacuate a hospital. It could alter the lives of multitudes and multitudes of people. And you thought it was insignificant, but it was significant. So, God bless you.
God bless. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Do me a favor. Can you dispose of something for me?
What's that?
Can you dispose of something for me?
Dispose of it?
Yeah.
You mean get rid of it?
Yeah.
Probably not, because I don't know what it is.
It's a fucking just empty clean.
Well, can't you just toss it in the trash can? This trash can's right over there.
Yeah, my boy just stole my blue card.
Yeah.
What trash can?
There's probably one by that station over there. Here, you want one? I'm going to give you some gospel tracks too, though.
Thank you.
All right, man. God bless you too. All right, man. So I'm hard on that guy because I know his name, I know his real name, but he's been in and out of prison, in and out of prison. We've talked for the last 3 or 4 years, and he lives on the street. And so I talked to him kind of hard, as you know, but I'm not going to do whatever he wants me to do. And but gave him 3 gospel tracts. He hands those 3 gospel tracts out. I also donated a few dollars to him. Let me talk about this for a second. When I'm on the street, I have 2 packs, one in my front pocket, one in my back pocket. There's 15 tracks here, and there's 3 business cards, church cards, and I've got 3 packets of 5 $1 bills. 5 $1 bills and 3 packets here. And so when somebody talks to me and I see a need, I supply their need. God has freely given to me. So when you're out on the street, carry that cash. When you're going to go serve the Lord, carry that cash. When you're going to go to church, carry the cash or some form of payment with you. You want to be able to give every time there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity right there before me. He didn't ask. I offered. And of course, he was going to take it. I knew that. But I wanted to be faithful to him. Right? And he's called, in prison, he's called the Joker. A common name, but he's called the Joker. And his real name is Joey. That's what his mom calls him, but he forbid me to ever use that name on the street. Nobody knows his real name. He says, you're the only one who knows his real name. Now you guys on YouTube know his name too, Joey. J-O-E-Y. And his mom was the only one allowed to call him Joey and Preacher John. That's the only two people he said on planet Earth that's allowed to call him by his real name. All right, so there's an opportunity. What did I do? I sowed. I sowed the word of God, and I sowed enough to buy him a cup of coffee, get a bus ticket, go get a sandwich, whatever he needed, or whatever he does. That's not my money. Quit controlling people. Let God be God in your life. Quit being God. If you have the power to do it, then you do it. And we all have the power to do it. It's from Proverbs. You don't withhold. All right? That's a lot about the tongue. All right? So there's a little sidebar teaching there for somebody. All right, let's go back into James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member. A lot of people think, well, I want to use my hand. I want to use my head. I want to use my body. But your tongue can also be used of God in a good way, but it can also be used of the devil. You can hurt people by the words of your mouth. You don't want to hurt people. Do you really want to hurt people? No. We want to be a nice person, respectful person, kind, gentle. We want to be humble and meek with people. We don't want to pound them over the head. Why do that? Why do that? You don't want to do that. What's that? Okay.
Because you say you want to be gentle, meek, and kind, and you don't want to bang them over the head, but...
Yeah, you don't want to do that. You want to be respectful.
Yeah. But your jacket is, like, very over the top. I'm not saying...
Well, it's over the top, but it's just a... It's, you know, I have to advertise.
I hear you.
Yeah, but out of my mouth, I'll say good things.
Yeah,
I appreciate
that.
You're saying, too.
Yeah. Right.
God bless you, man. You too, man. See, right there. Good example. Another good example of being kind. He doesn't believe in, he didn't like my coat, doesn't believe in what I'm doing because my coat's offensive to him. But he said, it's really interesting to hear you say that about the tongue and about talking, because I don't hear that from other preachers. And he said, but it's good to hear you say that, because he was listening as he was standing by the, that's why I stand by the streets, the crosswalk here. He'll see me again. People see me all over. There's a student up there in CU. CU is just two blocks up the road here. This will be all full of students a little later on. You see what I'm saying? You want to be respectful and kind to people. You can be loud. This is my advertising for Jesus. My coat's loud. My hat's loud. Yeah. But nothing offensive about it. It's just names of Jesus. Jesus saved. You see what I'm saying? But that's me, all right? I have a couple other shirts that are kind of more sharper, and I wear those shirts sometimes too. But guess what? I pick the shirt to wear that the Holy Ghost shows me. The shirt I have on right now underneath this coat is exactly the shirt that God told me to wear today. I even pray over my shirts. I pray over my hats. I pray over everything. I pray over everything. God bless you, Joey. And now you got all kinds of junk.
Satan, I bind you from stealing, killing, destroying any more out of Joey's life. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless him. Bless him. Bless him. And be a blessing to others. Be a blessing to others. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're going to be a blessing to others. We fix you back there.
The boys just stole my phone.
All right.
And my damn hat. And I don't think it was my boy. I think it was Moss.
All right.
Not
just forgive him, you know, do best you can.
You know what? All right,
I'm gonna let you. I'm doing a video right here. I'm live right now. So if you need to cry, cry. You need to share. You know, I mean, just I'll keep you in prayer all day, Joey. All right, man. Be safe. So Joey came back. Was able to lay hands on him and pray for him. Right? Boy, are we gonna have some sun come out? Now I'm in the shade. There's sun everywhere, but I'm in the shade. Oh well, that's life. All right, so let's go finish up here. James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Boasteth great things. Pride, pride, pride. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And I tell people, you ought to not stop saying that. Y'all stop saying that. Oh no, I'm telling the truth. God bless you, man. I'm telling the truth. Sounds like pride to me. But a lot of people love the feeling of pride. They love that feeling. They love that strength of pride. They don't realize that that strength is destroying them. So be really careful. Be really careful. You don't want to boast about anything. Unless God tells you to tell people, like I tell people about the people in heaven. God tells me to say those things. God wants me to be an example. So a lot of things that come out of my mouth are things that other people probably shouldn't say today or tomorrow. But maybe there's a season coming in your life that you'll have to say things like that. I don't know. So don't boast, right? Boast of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You start something with your mouth, before you know it, you start a whole forest fire with your mouth. You gotta really watch the fire of God. Fire of God. Oh, man, this hat. Oh, well, these hats, they slide around on my head. But I'm excited. I'm going to end that right there. That's the end of the message. How do I know it's the end of the message? Because I sense the lifting of the Spirit. I sense the Spirit lifting for the message here. I just know. I've been doing this a long time. And when you do it for a while, you'll know it too. So you don't want to add to that your message if the Holy Ghost is lifting and He's telling you that's the end of your sermon and He's lifting that up, you need to stop. So we're not doing the sermon, I'm just talking about a couple things. And you need to stop. You can't keep going on. When the Holy Ghost tells you to stop, you stop. That's how you do it, okay? So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can be willing and we can be obedient to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. And Lord, we thank you that we can preach a message on the street, we can pray for people, we can pass out gospel tracts, we can wave to people, we can pray, we can do all kinds of things out in the street and be a great witness for you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And Lord, I dedicate this sermon to your glory, Father, to your glory. I don't receive any praise or glory. It all goes to you, Lord. All goes to you. In your holy name, Jesus, I humbly pray. Amen and amen. All right, man, there you go. So we're at Folsom and Arapaho. This is Tuesday, around 11:30 or 12, whatever it is. And we'll stay here for a few more hours, a couple more hours, whatever it is. And we've got guests coming into town from Ohio, and they're going to come out and preach and minister with me. I don't know if it's today or I don't know what's going on. I'm going to turn my phone on just a little bit. Check it out. All right, God bless you, man. I love you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.